Further Review is brought to you by Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store. Visit us online at consumersbeverages.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Further Review, Buffalo News, buffalonews.com. I'm at the Delta Sky Club in Detroit. I'm Ryan O'Halloran. He's Jay Skursky. He's back in a hotel in Indianapolis. And 30-20, the Bills won their fifth straight, improved to 8-2. Let's talk about this defense. Taron Johnson, pick six, Joe Flacco's first pass of the game. Jay, you know, how impressive was this overall defensive effort, but particularly the takeaways?
Yeah, well, and listen, they needed him, right? We'll get to it later in the show, but this was not the best game for Josh Allen. This was not the best game for the offense. And when that happens, you want to see the other unit, or units in this case, raise their collective level of performance. And I thought the defense did just that. I thought the special teams was good. Tyler Bass and Sam Martin both had good games. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Ryan. It started defensively, and it started on the very first play of the game. From scrimmage offensively for the Colts with the pick six by Taron Johnson. You know, there's a reason that the Bills consistently refer to him as the best nickel cornerback in the league. We can debate whether or not that's true, but he's certainly on a very short list of them. And to make that play, you know, particularly after the offense had punted it away, you know, they lost the coin toss. They weren't getting the ball to start the third quarter. You don't want to let the home crowd into the game, right? And what a good way to take the home crowd out with a deflating interception that isn't just an interception. Then he looks like a running back or a wide receiver in space, gets a great block from Rasul Douglas and gets into the end zone. So couldn't have started any better for the Bills. And then they built on that and it continued from there with four takeaways, five if you count a fourth down sack that doesn't go in the books as a takeaway, but was effectively that as well. So I thought that the defense did what you're supposed to do against a mediocre quarterback. And listen, Joe Flacco at this point in his career is probably that. He's had games, even stretches last, you know, going back to last season where he's played really good. But I'll be the first to admit, I thought this was going to be a harder game with Flacco than Anthony Richardson. Maybe that still would have been true. But I think either way, the Bills defense was the superior unit to the Colts offense in pretty much every way.
Yeah, and you know, some of those big plays, those have to be corrected moving forward. But one player who I thought was a force, and you talked to him for a while after the game, was Greg Rousseau. And you know, he had the sack strip fumble in the second half. He had a couple other tackles. He's playing the run great. You know, when you visited with Greg after the game, you know, where do you think he's at with his season right now?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that. I'm actually, that's a good teaser, as they say in the business, right? Because I'm going to be writing about him for Tuesday's Buffalo News. And he's playing the best football of his career. I mean, he's becoming, I tweeted it during the game, he's becoming the player that the Bills needed him to be this season, right? And it had always been there with Rousseau. He had shown flashes. He had taken over games at times. But I think in terms of consistency, maybe that was lacking a little. There were some injuries issues. You know, he hasn't appeared on the injury report once this year, and you know, find some wood to knock on, of course, for, you know, after saying that. But he has, you know, he's top five in the NFL in both tackles for loss and quarterback hits, top four actually in both. And so he is making impactful plays. Don't be fooled just by his sack number, which I think is at 4.5 right now. He is impacting the game a lot more than just pure sacks might tell you. And I also had a chance to talk with Von Miller. And as you know, Ryan, Von Miller is not any stranger to hyperbole, but I remember one of the first things he said when he came to Buffalo was that Greg Rousseau has every tool to be one of the best defensive ends, one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. And that, I don't think, has been a stretch. I think Rousseau is developing into that. He may not be looked at that league-wide just yet, but the production is there. And I think the way that he is impacting games for this defense, I think it is fair to consider him one of the better players in his position right now in the NFL.
Get your cold beer here at Consumers Beverages, where you'll find the largest selection of craft, specialty, import, and domestic beer. Consumers Beverages has the fastest empty container returns at all 18 locations. Visit consumersbeverages.com, Buffalo's beer store.
And Ryan, as I alluded to in our opening segment, the defensive performance was necessary because this was, I would say, an uneven performance from Josh Allen, from the Buffalo Bills offense, understandably so, dealing with some of the injuries that they had at wide receiver and such. But, you had a chance to, you know, write about Allen. You were in his post-game press conference. I did not make it down to that in time. I went into the locker room, but I think, you know, the quarterback's mood is fairly easy to read in those post-game press conferences. What did you take away from, you know, both what you saw from Allen on the field and then maybe your impressions of him after the game?
Yeah, on the field, I mean, this Bills offense put up 417 yards, yet it didn't look great.
Yeah.
You know, it was sort of an all or nothing game. I mean, Allen threw for 280, but he had completions of 30, 44, and 34. That, you know, so it took up, he had some chunk plays. It just looked off. And some of that's understandable with no Mari Cooper, no Keon Coleman. And then for the balance of the game, no Dalton Kincaid. We'll talk about Kincaid in a minute. But two interceptions, both of those were unforced errors, I feel. But he made a 21-yard scramble on that long drive to put the game away. And afterwards, I mean, it was typical Josh Allen. You don't have to ask him how he played for him to tell you that he wasn't good enough. And, you know, a couple of commenters under my column today were saying, well, he didn't have anybody and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm just quoting the quarterback. And that's why guys like him. That's why guys respect him. And he knows that he missed some throws. And he, I think, he, you know, a quarterback has to be even better when some of his guys aren't available. And, you know, there's some throws he'd want to have back. So I'm sure he'll be interested in the film when he gets back to the facility on Monday morning. So it uneven is a good word to use it. But I'll throw it to your back to you on, I thought they should have run it more.
Yeah.
They had 31 carries, but it seemed like they got to it too late.
Yeah. And, you know, especially considering the issues that we touched on there, Cooper, no Coleman, James Cook ran it well, right? I mean, he had what, 80 yards on 19 carries. So he was averaging more than five a carry. I thought there were times where they stuck with it. There was a sequence where Cook gained 25 yards on back-to-back carries in the, I think that was late in the third quarter going into the fourth. It was a drive that they ultimately ended up getting a field goal to get a 10-point lead. But, you know, the Colts was, what, 31st maybe in run defense going into this game. It was not a strength of theirs, you know. So where was Ray Davis, right? Only three carries for 6 yards. You know, I think one of the things, and I wrote this in my report card, that makes Allen so tough to defend, and when he's not having his best game as a pure passer, and he certainly did not, those interceptions were not good. He missed Dalton Kincaid wide open for what should have been a touchdown. He, you know, to your point, Ryan, it doesn't matter who he's throwing to. If it's Jalen Virgil or Tyrell Shavers, if they're open and the ball doesn't get there, that's on the quarterback, right? And I thought there were times where that happened. But what makes Allen so dynamic and so tough to defend is that when you do take away the pass, or it's just not there because of some inaccuracy or whatever struggles may be, he still gave you 50 yards on the ground. And you mentioned that 21-yard scramble. That was on a 2nd and 19. 2nd and 19, you're thinking, if you're the defense, we're getting off the field here. And he goes out and picks it up. And, you know, it's a 13-yard touchdown run when the offense had, you know, you needed to punch it in, right? To kind of, at that point, they were down in the game. It was 13-10. And so he puts them back up. So, you know, certainly it's not the sky is falling, it's the end of the world. This, you know, we have seen Allen play honestly worse, right? But he's been so darn good this entire season that when he does have some of those inefficiencies in his game, they do stand out. And they stand out when, you know, you're shorthanded the way that they were. I'm with you. I thought maybe a little bit more running, but you know, you look up at the scoreboard at the end of the game and it says 30 points. And so you, and obviously I know 7 of those came from the defense on the pick six, but I think this was a game where they did enough and they, you know, you're 8-2 and you're looking ahead, right?
Well, Jake, the Bills came into this game sort of depleted at receiver. Now they're depleted at tight end with Dalton Kincaid. Let's talk about the receivers first and the guys who did step up. You know, Khalil Shakir was Khalil Shakir, but you know, have they found something? Have they found something with Matt Collins, and did they finally find something with Curtis Samuel?
Well, it was good to see them involve Samuel a little bit early. You know, you thought in the first or second quarter that, hey, maybe this is going to be one of those, you know, 7 or 8 catch games. He gets up to 80 yards or something like that. It didn't, you know, entirely materialize that way. They did throw it to him 8 times. I think he only caught 4 of those passes. So there was a little bit of maybe not being on the same page. You know, there was a 4th and 3 that they went for. I can't remember if it was you asked Ryan about it. Sean McDermott was asked about the aggressiveness to go for it. And that ball went to Samuel. Looking back on it, I thought that was a play that he probably should have made. but he was more involved than he has been. So maybe it's a small step forward for him. Hollins, I think we have to give him credit, right? When they've needed a guy, he's been there. He's been consistent for them. He plays a lot. Frankly, he probably plays more than you and I or most fans would prefer. But when you've got guys that are out of the lineup, as they do right now at the position, you need guys to be there. And he's been there and he's made big plays. You know, 44-yarder at the end of the first half gets them in position to add a field goal. That play doesn't happen if he's not open down the field and makes the catch and then is smart enough to get out of bounds, which I think you may be referenced in your column as well. So, I don't think that you want to continue to have to rely on him. You want these guys back in the lineup as soon as possible with Coleman and Cooper. But the thing that's interesting to me about this game, Ryan, coming up against the Chiefs, and I know we'll talk more about them, but you've got to look at the schedule, and they've got the bye week after that, right? And that's the opportunity to really have an extended break for a lot of these guys if they hold them out of the Chiefs game. And so I do think that they're going to err on the side of caution with a lot of these players, as they should. For as big as this game is, you want them healthy for December, you want them healthy for January, and ideally February. And one way to do that is to allow them to take advantage of what could be an extended break.
Yeah, and I don't think we shouldn't expect to see Coleman. Sean McDermott sort of alluded to that late last week. Cooper out two games. He I think there's probably a better chance for him, but you make a good point, because that's something we talk about a lot is, you know, teams have to look ahead a little bit when it comes to their health. And if you sit Keon Coleman this week, then the bye, then he'll basically have a month of recovery. Cooper, same thing. If you want to go that route, Kincaid, you know, he'd have a couple weeks. So as much as they say they want to go 1-0 this week, the Bills right now at 8-2 with a 5-game lead in the division, they have to play the long game. They have to make sure they're healthy for the stretch run to see if they can get that 2 seed or maybe even that 1 seed and make the playoffs come through Buffalo. So one thing about Hollins is if you have Josh Allen's trust, you're going to get the football. And yeah, it's clear that Josh trusts them in terms of scramble drill. You know, he's not going to outrun anybody, but it looks like he's probably a pretty decent route runner, and he catches it. If you drop it, you lose trust. So, you know, Hollins is taking advantage of these opportunities.
I don't have the game book in front of me. You might. I mean, I know the week before, I think he caught every target, and I feel like he might have been pretty close to that again this week, right?
4 for 4.
Yeah, and so you're exactly right. When they throw it to him, it's being successful. Real quick on Kincaid, you had a chance to talk to him after the game. What'd you take away from that? If anything.
That's what I took away. That's not necessary. Just a real quick synopsis is he was injured. His last play before he was examined was an incomplete pass to the flat where it looked like he had to go down a little awkwardly to try and catch it. You know, he put a brace on, went back out there, and I asked him about that. And he goes, it's a little clunky, but he would have gotten used to it. But when he played 2 snaps in the second half, he said it didn't feel like he'd be able to protect himself. It's a short quote, but I think it's a telling quote because these guys know this is a physical game. And if they're not operating at, you know, close to full speed, that's how you get hurt. So, you know, I would say we'll know more later today, but I don't think that'll be the case. He'll probably sit out Wednesday and we'll see how this goes. But, you know, they wanted to major in 12 personnel with the receivers out. Now you go back, if Dawson Knox is your lone tight end, then you go back to 3 receiver and 1 tight end against the Chiefs.
And Ryan, I think we need 3 words, right, to promote this week. It's Chiefs week. Not a lot more needs to be said. 9-0, 8-2, two teams that have extensive history going against each other. Sean McDermott, Andy Reid, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. We know all the storylines. We know what's at stake in this game. What comes to mind when you think about this showdown in Orchard Park next week?
Yeah, and I have the lead typed up for my column for Tuesday's paper, and you basically just said it. It's Kansas City week. It's Allen versus Mahomes week. It's McDermott versus Reed week, and it's Bill's crowd noise against Chiefs offense week. And to me, this is why we love this sport. I mean, these are two teams who are combined 17-2. The Chiefs have won 15 in a row dating back to last season. The Bills are 14-3 in their last 17 going back to last season. You know, both teams were banged up on offense, but you have two quarterbacks at the height of their powers. And, you know, asking guys in the locker room, oh, you know, it's just another game. You know, we want to go 1-0 next week. But I also pointed out to them, I said, hey, this is a big game for the fans. That's where they said, hey, we understand that. We want that stadium rolling and rocking on Sunday in Orchard Park. So, you know, I think this is the game we've been waiting for. This is the game we circled when the schedule came out.
There's a couple things that come to mind for me about this game. Number one is the seeding in the AFC, right? I know that when you look at the standings and the upcoming schedule, especially, the one seed, even with a win by the Bills, is still going to be a challenge. I think I saw their odds are maybe 28% with a win for the one seed. I think they're less than 1% with a loss. The reason for that is that you look at Kansas City's schedule. It's Carolina and Vegas, their next two games. I mean, come on, right? I mean, what are we doing? The Bills obviously have a long trip to LA coming up. They've got Detroit, which is another game of the year type of game before it really, you know, lessens at the end with two against New England and the Jets. So one thing that has not happened though for the Bills during this run with Allen is they've never had the one seed. They've never had the bye in the playoffs. Mahomes and the Chiefs have had it several times. So I still think that is a big carrot out there that the Bills should be going after with all they can, because obviously it includes home field, but getting that week of rest is something that this franchise hasn't had. I think the only way that that's a possibility is by beating the Chiefs. I don't think that beating the Chiefs really accomplishes much in terms of, you know, Are they over the hurdle of Kansas City? Because they've beaten them in the regular season plenty of times, right? It's when it's going to matter is what happens in the postseason. You'd want that game in Buffalo if you could have it, and the best way to do that is with a win. So while I do think there is a lot at stake, I don't think that we could look at it and say, well, just because they beat Kansas City, if they do, they're over that hurdle.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Jay. This is not a be-all, end-all game. I still think the number one seed is a long shot, because look at the four-game gauntlet coming up. Chiefs, 49ers, Rams, Lions. Can you go 3-1? Can you go 2-2? I, you know, as much as that bye would be great, if I'm the Bills, the realistic goal is, can you get that number two seed, which means, you know, two home games if you win the first round. So I think it's a, you know, statement game. No, measuring stick game. Yes. But it's still, you know, it's a big game, but if the Bills lose, we're not going to be sitting here on Monday morning saying the season's over.
Yeah. We will be sitting here next Monday morning, though, to discuss whatever happens against Kansas City. A lot coming this week in the Buffalo News, as you might expect for such a big game, starting in Tuesday's paper. As I mentioned, I'll be writing about Rousseau. Ryan will be looking ahead to the Chiefs and the challenge that an undefeated Kansas City team is coming to Buffalo. That'll just kick off a week full of coverage with myself and Ryan, Catherine, Mark, the whole team at the Buffalo News. We will be back next Monday, as I mentioned, following the Kansas City game for our next edition of the Further Review podcast as we wrap up Kansas City week and then head into the bye week for the Bills. So for Ryan O'Halloran, I am Jay Skursky. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll talk to you next week.
Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store since 1948. Find out what our latest deals are by visiting consumersbeverages.com.